Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks. This past year, Andras Nelsons began his tenure as music director for the Boston Symphony Orchestra. This is music from his inaugural concert here in Boston in September, Wagner's Overture to Tannhauser. Next week, Nelsons will be back at Symphony Hall conducting works by Brahms, Haydn, and Strauss. Much has been made of the new conductor's age. He just turned 36, the youngest music director in more than a century at the BSO. And whether it's due to his youth or not, it's his energy and openness that are winning early rave reviews in Boston. Andras Nelsons is from Riga, Latvia. And when we met him back in October in his private office at Symphony Hall, he told us that's where he first heard this piece of music by Wagner.
That was the first biggest musical experience in my life. I was 5 years old and my parents took me to the opera house in Riga. I was simply very, very touched and moved by the amazing music. And also the atmosphere was in the theater. You know, the lights went dark, but of course the music. And I mean, Wagner's music since then is one of my narcotics, I remember, because that music is so infectious, because it just takes you over. And it was the first biggest thing for a five-year kid to go to the opera.
I'm just trying to imagine a five-year-old being inspired like this by Wagner. I mean, it's not so normal.
Yes, it's not very common, but I think I was inspired at the age of five, the same way as some people get inspired by Wagner when they are 20, or some of them 30 or 40 when they discover Wagner, because there are composers, including Wagner, which sometimes people don't immediately feel connection to.
Sure.
But I immediately felt it from age of five.
At that very young age, Nelsons was already studying and playing the piano. But he told us that when he got a little older, he fell in love with the trumpet, which he eventually played for the Latvian National Opera Orchestra.
Yes, it is interesting because I went to the concert where the brass band was playing, and there was very beautiful melodies, you know, beautiful arrangements, and I just somehow thought, oh my God, I would like to play. And then my father got a present. It was 11th birthday. It was a trumpet. So that's how I started, and I started to practice as a mad, you know. 5-6 hours a day or even more. My lips were bleeding, and I was so passionate and so obsessed with that. And of course, the results came very quickly, and I very quickly started to play in the brass band, and then got my first job, professional job, at the age of 17 in the National Opera in Riga as a trumpet player. So, and of course, also one of the other impulses, I would say, or influences why I wanted to become a trumpet player was Håkon Hardenberger, who is the trumpet legend. It's just very interesting because now we perform together, me as a conductor and him as a soloist. You know, he also performs in November with Boston Symphony.
How fascinating. So you get to conduct him now, and he was one of your inspirations.
He was one of my inspirations to become a trumpet player, yes, and so now we play together.
So I'm curious, do you still feel that you have a special affinity relationship with the trumpet?
I think it will always be special, and I don't really divide. The music is so universal, it talks to all of us, but actually playing in the orchestra myself, it really helped a lot for conducting, because I somehow realize how people feel playing in the orchestra. I can't say I'm a trumpet player anymore, because I don't play, I haven't played for 15 years.
Because you played in an orchestra, you and now you're a conductor, you understand what the players need or want or expect, but say a little bit more about that. I mean, how that affects the way you conduct.
Well, it is a teamwork, which is very obvious, but I think also trust and respect and the love to your musicians as your team is very, very important. It comes back, and then you can create much, much deeper and much honest result, in my opinion, and I think that's for me has been very important. You know, there are 100 musicians in the orchestra, and they all have ideas, and they all are wonderful, amazing musicians. And some of them have played in the orchestra more than I actually have lived in my life. So they have a great experience and great knowledge. So they might not agree with something, and it's absolutely normal. But my task as a conductor is to inspire, but never the dictatorship. I think it doesn't work. Discipline, yes. Democracy, no. Diplomacy, humanity, and
love, you said. Love, the love has to go both ways.
And love, and that is the thing. That's
you know, I love it that you said that you're conducting some players in the orchestra who have been playing longer than you've been alive. So this gets to sort of a question about your age. You're one of the youngest music directors the BSO has had in over a century. How do you think that can benefit the BSO, an orchestra with that kind of tradition?
Yes, well, for me, tradition has been a very important part in my studies and in my understanding about music, because I think the history and the past is an important part of development of a musician or a conductor. And therefore, although I'm 35 years old, I can't say I feel older in a sense, but I don't think about the age in those terms. And of course, I understand them being young in the meantime. I think at any age, if you come as a music director of any orchestra, you bring your best and your energy, your experience, your ideas and passion anyway.
You may have read an open letter to you from Jeff Edgers in the Boston Globe. He comes on our program on Radio Boston, and he wrote this: "For a truly transformational tenure, Andras Nelsons must expand the BSO's reach, not only through compelling performances, but by renewing the mission." I'm wondering how you react to that. Do you have plans to renew the mission, that people really understand the importance and the presence of classical music?
Of course, the first thing, we perform music because we love music and we share it with people who love it. But our mission is actually more than that. It is a great mission and responsibility. I'm sure there is a great future for classical music and always will be. But it depends on the decisions which are made by the people who are responsible. If they make wrong decisions in terms of education or support of art.
So you're talking about people at various levels, political levels?
Also political levels, because this is about education. We take care that we have a great some mathematicians, physics and doctors and, you know, aviation and so on. And that's very important. But we should not forget about the other part, which is the soul. And that kind of doesn't give immediate results. Or you think, oh, maybe it's not so important. It doesn't give them so much money. But music, art, literature, it is something which develops the intellectual side and emotional side and the human side, which without that you can't be a normal human. You can't be a family person. How can you love in its deepest sense if you haven't heard any music, or you haven't experienced it? You know, the great painters of the past, or whatever. It's just, we need to take care that we also fulfill this mission. This is very, I think it's very, very, very important.
I think you expressed the importance of the arts as well as I've ever heard it expressed, so I'm grateful to you for that. It was nicely done. You've been described as a leader of a larger community of younger conductors in their 20s and 30s. And I'm just curious if you see yourself that way, and tell me about that community. Is there a shared mission and sensibility among these younger conductors?
It's always been young conductors and older conductors. I think it's important that for us that we continue the tradition. We learn from older musicians, from older colleagues, and we don't think that we can invent the bicycle again. We can show how important it is to use the bicycle and to ride the bicycle more healthy than take a car. But what I mean is, for us, me and my younger colleagues, it's a great opportunity to be very, very active in that. But I don't really think so much about the age. I think that's something which will pass, and unfortunately...
unfortunately, it passes for all of us. You know, I read that you could have been working in many different cities, Amsterdam, Berlin. What was it about becoming musical director here at the BSO that attracted you?
As I always know, and everyone knows, this is one of the best orchestras in the world. You know, there is no way in music and in arts to put the ranking like in sport. But this is one of the, you know, one of the absolutely top orchestras with its great tradition. This is also absolutely one of the best concert halls. I think from the old concert halls, Boston, Amsterdam and Vienna, I think the best concert halls in the world. But it also combines the old, let's say, European tradition. And I, being 35, I'm young, but I feel also old because I love the tradition. So that's the good, great combination.
Obviously, you're immersed in classical music, my guess is, from morning to night. But do you listen to other kinds of music? And if so, what do you listen to?
Yes, well, I like to listen to jazz music.
What do you listen to?
But, you know, as a trumpeter, you know, starting from Armstrong, Louis Armstrong, and not only trumpeters, but of course, there is a great quality of pop rock music. But I would say jazz music is something very... I don't have much time because I have to study a lot, repertoire I'm conducting. And when you listen to Wagner opera, you know, I love to listen to that. You know, it takes 5 hours, so all your day is gone. So, but mostly in all my free time, my priority is my family, is my wife and daughter, which is... And then, of course, I watch the cartoons with my daughter and I enjoy that. And to be a conductor, a musician, you have to live your normal life. You can't sit in four walls and just study and say music is everything. Music is life. If you don't experience life, how can you know how to perform the piece? It's about love, hate, disappointment, excitement. Everything is there. And you have to live in order to, I think, to perform music as well.
So a man of wide and varied taste, Andras Nelsons, thank you. It's been a great pleasure.
Thank you, great pleasure. Very welcome to our concert.
Andras Nelsons speaking to us back in October. This Tuesday, the BSO opens a new multimedia exhibit on Andras Nelsons, which will be on display throughout the month of January. And Maestro Nelsons will be conducting works by Brahms, Haydn, and Strauss at Symphony Hall next Thursday through Saturday. You can find more information at radioboston.org. And that's it for today. Our program is a production of WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. I'm Anthony Brooks. Have a great weekend. Join us again Monday for more Radio Boston.